The School of Marian Vocation, O Mary, Mother of Mercy, Queen of the Divine Will, please teach us to love Jesus and live in the spirit of our vocation more and more, the spirit of faith, hope, and love, the spirit of obedience and of loving the holy will of God, the spirit of chastity, poverty, and humility, the spirit of mercy and apostolic zeal for the salvation of souls, especially those whom the boundless mercy of your divine Son has entrusted to us. Amen. Our Lady, Queen of the Divine Will, please pray for us. Fiat. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Apologize, some of my buttons were not working. The mute button and the video button. But we did pray the Our Father. We did thank the Holy Trinity for enabling us to enter into union with them by means of prayer. And we did the School of Marian Vocation. I want to welcome everyone to this ebook series on this Friday evening. I'm going to bring in Maureen at this time.
Hi, everybody. Hi. Happy Mother's Day to all the mothers out there and spiritual mothers.
That's right. Happy Mother's Day. Mother's Day on Sunday. And we're blessed to have with us on Sunday Reverend Father Joseph Levine, as he will be with us on Sunday. We've got a nice, beautiful Divine Will Day of Recollection tomorrow with Father Sosa, but I'll try to touch on that for a bit at the end. You know, we've been doing this for a while now, and all of us are journeying. We really are journeying in the Divine Will. And you know, we've heard a lot of times also when Jesus mentions to Louisa, you know, basically don't procrastinate. Make good use of your time. In fact, the souls in purgatory through many mystics have expressed to the extent that if they had a wish, if they could have done it all over again, they would have made better use of the time while on earth. And that's something we can learn from while we do have time to do that. You know, I had a silly analogy too. This time that we're talking about is, you know, St. Louis de Montfort says there's going to come a point in a flash and time as we know it will end. So it's sort of like, you know, we've been invited to this divine will musical chairs and the music is playing and we're eyeing out where we're going to sit. We just want to be able to get a seat and God has given plenty of seats there. But he doesn't want us to start daydreaming. He wants us to focus, on what's going on. And then the music's going to stop. And then that's our time. We either sit or we're out. I mean, I was just reading, if I may just digress a little bit, The Triumph of God's Kingdom in the Millennium and End Times. It's another book by Father Iannuzzi. And just to hit on this point, because it's so vital, I think, that we make better use of the time. You know, again, we can't manufacture 25 hours in a day, but we can make better use of the 24 hours, and we have to start getting away from the frivolous things. So this is in Father's book, and just a couple of quotes here I'd like to read just quickly, just to point out this really, really important mode of prayer, which is going to change. He states, quote, "To announce to those who dwell on earth, his time has come." Revelation 14, 6, 7. For the day has a day of vengeance. For the Lord has a day of vengeance. That's Isaiah. I will take away the guilt of the land in one day. Zechariah. For you yourselves know very well that the day of the Lord will come upon you like a thief in the night. Thessalonians. In one hour, this great wealth has been ruined. Revelation. And that also reminds me of Psalm 73, which reminds us, again, my understanding, it reminds us not to worry about what our brothers and sisters are doing, not to worry about what they have or don't have, to focus on being thankful for whatever we do have. And in an instant, everyone is going to awaken as if it was all a dream, meaning that nothing around us is important except God. And everything that he brings to us in the divine will. Quote, alas, great city, in one hour she has been ruined. Again, Revelation 18, 19. And last but not least, in one hour your judgment has come. Revelation 18, 10. So again, not to get nervous, but next time we're procrastinating or doing something frivolous or perhaps something we shouldn't be doing, let's think about making the better use of time. Again, it can be joyful. Because God has made this so easy. You know, Maureen, I was thinking about this too. I mean, we hear about the divine will many times during the week through all of our gifted souls, you know, Father Celso, Father Nuzzi, Mother Gabriel, so on, the archives of Father Young, Father Brown. And we learn so much about the divine will. And I think sometimes, I'm speaking for myself also, we think about, I've got to live this perfectly now. And we sort of get a little frustrated with doing that. And God says he's not looking for that. We don't have to get it right now, all of it. We've mentioned this also. He says in volume 11, September 25th, 1913, he says to Louisa and to us, quote, "My daughter, I had to do this in such a way that sanctity, this gift of living in my divine will, may be easy and accessible to all, unless they did not want it. It had to be accessible in all conditions and all circumstances and in every place," end quote. So Father Nuzzi talks about this also. He talks about, you know, all Jesus tells us in the volumes to enter into this journey is we need to be in a state of grace and have an ardent desire for this gift. And he says immediately, not tomorrow, not next month, immediately he will place us in the divine will. Now, does that mean we're at the same level as Louisa? No, of course not. But it gets our foot in the door, so to speak. Then as we start to exercise the Christian virtues through the grace of God, he elevates those Christian virtues and converts them into divine virtues. And then the journey begins. But to get into the divine will, Jesus tells us he had to make this easy and accessible to all, not just some. State of grace. We have control over that. We have to go to confession. That's simple. Have an ardent desire. Well, what is an ardent desire? I didn't know. So Father was kind enough to extract where Jesus speaks about sort of the ingredients that that make up an ardent desire. You know, when you're going to bake something, you need all the ingredients. Well, these are what Jesus wants to see to form that ardent desire. And we have a diagram on the website, queenofthedivinewill.org. That's on the page entitled Divine Will Visual Aids. Some are very common sense, and some I think we may need to read and pay attention to. God, in essence, wants us to make this our life. Again, he doesn't want us to be non-coherent when we're driving or taking care of our responsibilities, but he wants this to be our life. That's our desire, in essence, our ardent desire. So in the state of grace, having an ardent desire, we immediately, Jesus says, we'll receive this gift. Then our work begins. Again, we did nothing to earn this gift. It's a gift. But once we're given the gift, that's when our work begins. And that's what we're doing right now. And the more we strive, the more we learn, the more we love, the more we ask for this gift, the more God gives us and gives us a greater understanding. And again, when we understand something like anything in life, the more we understand it, the more we perhaps appreciate it. And when we appreciate it, we love it. So it really is very simple to get our foot in the door. And I think we all need to do that. I know I need to do that each and every day. And if we fall, we get up, we go to confession, or we make an act of contrition to our Lord if it's a venial sin, and we want to get into that state of grace. Again, state of grace is going to help the whole world. Think about if everyone was in the state of grace, there'd be no sin. there'd be nothing. There'd be no wars. Everything would be perfect. So God is getting us there one step at a time. So again, state of grace, ardent desire. He immediately promises us this gift. And then our work begins. That to me is so, comforting, I guess is the only word I can use.
Yeah.
Immediately. Here we are. It's just amazing. Okay, so what's also amazing is we're going to get to the Father's lesson for this evening. And again, for those of you joining us for the first time, Father Nuzzi's doctoral dissertation, he was asked back in 2000 or 2001 by the Archbishop of Corrado to translate all of Louisa's writings. And he was so enamored by it that he decided to use it for his doctoral dissertation, in which he summarized everything that Louisa wrote, everything that our Blessed Mother wrote, and then grounded it in our Catholic faith somewhere, the patristics, the doctors, the fathers, the magisterium, the catechism, somewhere had to find it, its roots in the Catholic faith, and then drives us into the volumes to explain how this summary came about, what Jesus said, what our Blessed Mother said. He makes it easy for us. And we have to also remember that, we'll bring it up real quickly, that the late Archbishop Battista Bicchieri, he asked everyone, all who read these writings, to be guided by a priest for any theological questions. That doesn't mean we cannot gather, we cannot have cenacles, we cannot read, we cannot study, we cannot, We cannot do any of this without a priest present. That's not what it's saying. But when we get to that ambiguity, that certain sentence or theory or thought that we cannot explain, instead of just guessing, because again, that can take us down the wrong road, we need to seek clarity on that. And it's difficult because, first of all, there aren't enough priests to begin with, number one. Number two, there definitely aren't enough divine will priests, or at least I haven't been able to find them. So how do you do this? Well, we have Father Inouye's question and answer every other Sunday of the month, where we can present our questions to Father to receive that theological explanation, to get that understanding. Or we can use this this dissertation, which has abrogation by the Gregorian University of Rome, where many popes have gone through, which is authorized by the Holy See. So in essence, the church is stamped for approval. Abrogation is the same as approval, but in the scholastic world. So it has approval by the Holy See through the Gregorian University. So everything here we can use. It's Catholic. So as we await the critical edition, which we're not sure when we're going to receive it, because again, there are these ambiguities that the Vatican and Corrado cannot explain. They need to clarify a few points because the church has to be certain how to bring this to the faithful from a Catholic perspective. And between you and I think it's already been done in this dissertation, but they haven't asked Father's advice. They haven't asked him for his help in any of this. But again, the critical edition will be out eventually. We don't know when, but as we're waiting, we're growing in trust and faith and showing our Lord that we do believe this to be true, to be the greatest gift, the gift of gifts, the prodigy of prodigies. But while we're waiting for that, we have this beautiful treasure to be able to use, approved by the church, summarizing so we're not off the rail, so to speak, on our understanding, and then driving us into the volumes, because that's where God's going to expand us personally, individually, based on our dispositions. We're going to get a unique understanding of what he's explained to us, different than Father Inouye, different than Father Celso, different than Maureen. Not wrong or right, but a slightly different perspective, which is easy for the individual to understand. So it's all here for us. And that's what's so exciting about everything that's been given to us through this gift of living in the divine will. Okay. We're still on 5.3.7.5. In fact, we haven't gotten past the first footnote, but that's okay, because again, we try to methodically go through this. Again, this is not, I remember we used to have commercials, Evelyn Wood's speed reading, how you can read a book in like 2 hours. That's not the divine will. It's not rushing through the volume to say I read the volumes, because we're going to retain very little of it, and we've probably masticated on almost nothing. So God tells us that a little bit fully and thoroughly masticated will give us the door opening, the window opening into this gift for a better understanding. In fact, Maureen, St. Hannibal de Francia, he says he read no more than 2 passages a day so that he can fully masticate them. No more than 2 passages a day. Again, giving us that understanding that this is different. This is unique. This is everything. So how can we possibly just go through it quickly? I mean, maybe some can read fast and retain it. I can't. I have to read it over again, ponder it. And what I read today maybe makes a little bit more sense tomorrow than it did today. But that's the journey. And the more we desire, Jesus tells us, the more he's going to give us the help. You know, those mystical gifts, those graces, in order to understand this language of heaven. It's so beautiful. It's so beautiful. And it's all in front of us. Again, he had to make this easy and accessible to all. Unless we didn't want it. It's astonishing. It really is. So cosmic theology, Maureen, I thought we would, again, stop at 296 and we'll pick up on that footnote where we left off. Let me bring out the pointer so I can keep us in sync here.
5.3.7.5, cosmic theology. In Maximus's writings, P.G. Renzi's notes that the divine energy assumes the value of an actualization of resident powers in being and relentlessly pushes these toward a higher thing, always realizing more until attaining the goal at which this was aiming, the universal divinization of beings, which likewise remains to be accomplished. By this means, God makes them all, along with the all, a unified symphony and a unison of motion. Louisa underscores Maximus's teaching on creation's divinization and unification when she asserts that through man, creation is divinized and restored to the original unity, order, freedom, and harmony it enjoyed before sin.
That's the important thing right there. We have, sometimes I forget, and I think a lot of people forget maybe because I have a lot of conversations. We forget what the end game is. I mean, it's not just to grow in this gift. It's not just to acquire this gift. It's to return ourselves and all souls. Remember, the big delta, the big differential between this gift and the gifts given to all the saints is that we can concomitantly at the same time effectuate change positively to all souls, past, present, and future. God does that. We move God. Again, that's another quote too, if I can find that somewhere. Couldn't get out of my, oh yeah, here it is. This is really important too. God explains to us, Jesus explains, what do we need to do? How do we get this gift? How do we get more grace and to understand it? Volume 23, November 27th, 1927. My daughter, Louisa, that which is most necessary, not one of the most, that which is most necessary in order to receive a good so great, which is the kingdom of my divine will, is to move God to decide to give my divine will reigning in the midst of creatures. End quote. So we need to move God to move him to give us this gift, just like the souls of the Old Testament moved God to bring the Messiah. And then the Virgin Mary, they moved God to bring our Blessed Mother, and God did so. Now our job is to move God to bring us back to the order, the place, and the purpose which were created by God, to go back to the prelapse and heir of Adam, to move God, to show God that we really want this gift, that we really love him. I mean, again, we go back to the catechism, to know God, to love God, and to serve God makes perfect sense. The more we know God, the more we're going to love him. The more we love him, the more we're going to want to serve him. But now through Article 66, the explication of what's already been given, now we understand to love, to serve, and to know God, to do that fully can only be accomplished through the gift of the divine will as we voluntarily elect to deflect our human will and absorb God's most holy divine will, which he wants to give to us. So now we know how to bring that to fruition. And just like we read here, actualization of resonant powers in being and relentlessly pushes these towards a higher thing until attaining the goal at which this was aiming. And again, the goal is the prelapse center of Adam. So constantly God, as we spoke about, is taking the exercise of our Christian virtues and he's deepenizing it. We can't do that. He's bringing it up a notch, several notches. And again, he's doing that because we're moving him with our love. We're moving him with our love for him. He wants his paternity back. And what father or mother doesn't want to be loved by their children? And doesn't that mother and father want to give everything more quickly when you can feel that love from your child? That's what God's waiting for. He wants his paternity back. And that's, you know, I think that's easy to understand, Maureen. He wants to be father again.
Yeah.
We've all like emancipated ourselves. We don't need you, God. We're okay on our own. I was like that when I was very young. Yeah, God, I'll call you when I need you. I'm okay. I wasn't okay. Nobody's okay. Yeah. If it wasn't for God, if it wasn't for his divine will, we'd cease to exist. We would just go back to dust right now. He's keeping us alive. He kept us alive for the redemption. He's keeping us alive now for the sanctification. He wants this small group, this cog, as we mentioned before, he wants this small group to become intimate with him so that he may transmit this and diffuse it to all. He's waiting for us to move him. And we can do that every day. And we can do it right now. I hope we do. I hope we move God just a bit this evening and maybe after this program as we ponder what Jesus wrote, what Mary wrote, and the summary that Father Annuzzi so graciously gave us through this dissertation.
You know, the world is in such a turmoil now that if you didn't know about the divine will, you'd probably think, how can this ever be fixed? But we know it's a spiritual battle. So we have the old red legs, but he's fighting against divinity, truly, right? He's the divine will is our battle cry. So who can come against the divine will and win? Nobody. So I just think anybody who knows about this, it really makes you feel a lot better about the world and the battle that we're in, because we're on the side of the divine will, and the divine will is going to win. And it's really a victory story. It's not a depressing thing that's happening. It's God's will is happening, and he's going to be victorious, and we're going to be part of that. It's amazing.
Yeah, not only is it not depressing, it's total opposite. I mean, this is the most joyous thing that we can possibly have ever received. And that's why, you know, sometimes when we're out in public, we look silly because we're so happy. And people say, why are you happy? I was on line at the supermarket the other day, and the line was terrible. There's only like two cashiers on, and people were all arguing. And this woman says, are you okay? You seem so happy. How do you, I said, it's divine will is here. I just blurred that out. I mean, she had no idea what I said there. But again, just by our presence, just by our again, exercise of our Christian virtues. Patience is one of those. And as we exercise that, God divinizes that. He brings it to a whole different level. So it wasn't me that woman saw, but she saw God perhaps in me for that brief moment. And then, of course, I did something wrong and lost it. But that's what is happening to every one of us. It's like, you know, it's like life as we were supposed to have it was a vase. Not only did we break the vase, but we lost a lot of pieces. There's no way, like you said, Maureen, there's no way that humanity can fix what is broken, because we don't even have all the pieces. Mm-hmm. Only God can do it, because he's bringing everything back. He's going to make that vase even greater, more splendid than it was before we broke it.
And while it's all happening, I like that when Jesus talks about the ocean, and when you're a fish and you go deep down into the ocean, you're not affected by the storm that's raging above in the shallow waters. So we enter deep into the divine will, and the low world won't bother us as much. I love when he talks about the low
world. That was Pope John Paul II too. He said, go into the deep. Because if you think about it, let's take a silly analogy. We're at the shore. We're at the beach. And you can go into your ankles, go into your knees, go into your waist. See, you know, there's no worry. You can see everything. But what happens when you start going out deeper, you know, up to your neck, over your head, treading water? You don't know what's underneath you. You have all these visions of like the sea monsters. I mean, you can't see. You're taking a risk. Go in the deep. Trust God. Again, it's like Peter walking on water. Mm-hmm. Again, he can't walk on water, but he asked God. God said, come. He believed God. And then when he looked at himself and said, well, I'm walking on water, he lost it then, because he says, I can't walk on water. So the things that are going to happen to us and that are going to happen to the world are so fantastic that we, if we sat down and tried to write the story, could not even touch the introduction to it. God's going to make this so splendid, so beautiful, so spectacular. And he's going to make the journey itself spectacular, not just the end game when we get there, but as we're growing, yeah. as we're again becoming divinized,
yeah.
We're going to be changed. The transmutation, for 2,000 years, the church has tried to change it from the outside to hopefully permeate inside, and it's worked to a certain extent. Now God says, nope, I'm going to do it all the opposite. I want to come inside. This is an interior movement, interior knowledge, interior gift. Mm-hmm. I want to change the soul, because remember, the body expresses the soul. So if the soul is healed and put on the right track, then the body will respond.
Yeah.
So that's the transmutation that God is doing right now. It's beautiful. And again, he's doing it with every one of us, except for those who do not want it. Yeah, unless they do not want. So again, this is available to everyone. State of grace, we have control over. Having an ardent desire, we can work at. We can easily get that if we desire to have an ardent desire, if that makes any sense. So the two components to receive this gift and enter into it are accessible to all, in all circumstances, in all situations. That's what Jesus says. He didn't exclude anyone unless they don't want it. So to start this journey, if we haven't done it already, we can do it right now. State of grace, have a desire. Lord, I want this gift. I don't understand it. I don't know how you're going to do it, but I trust you. Fiat. Mm-hmm. Fiat mihi is a perfect example. Lord, I trust you. Do as you wish with me. Because what do we have to lose? What do we have to lose? We're losing. We're losing the war, the good versus evil. God's going to step in. And again, in an instant, in a flash, the end of time is going to happen. The music's going to stop. And that chair is waiting for us. But if we don't get to that chair, we're out. It's really one big test. And we have to have the test. We must pass. And that's why God gives us, you know, what do you do? Remember in nursing school, nurse, you had multiple quizzes to prepare you for that test. God's quizzing us every single day in different circumstances, in different situations.
Yeah, that's for sure.
Yeah. And again, some we fail, some we pass.
A lot of surprise quizzes. I'm like, oh, just failed that one. Oh, just failed that one.
That is funny. All right. So 296 is the footnote. We started it. I have where we picked up, and I didn't remember offhand, so don't think I've got a good mind. I looked back at the video, but this is where we begin.
Okay. 5.12.23, or is that May 12th? 5.12.23. Now, oopsies. I lost my place, Peter. Okay, footnote 296, volume 13, September 5th, 1922. No, volume 14, I'm sorry. Now, know that I have enclosed and secured the creation in you. Are you there, Peter? You have a cross there, so I stopped.
Yeah, thank you. Now know that I have enclosed and secured the creation in you. And to pick up on that theme, we don't have time to do it today, but please go to volume 17, January 4th, 1925. In closing, you know, again, entering this gift, we're in a whole different world. We're in a strange environment, but it's a loving environment. So it's new. It might be a little frightening as we get there. Of course, again, the unexpected or the anticipation always creates perhaps a little bit of nervousness. But God says, I'm going to give everything to you. And he's going to do that to settle us. And again, to exercise this elevation of our Christian virtues and allow them to become divine virtues. So please, volume 17, January 4th, 1925.
I want that which was done in heaven have life upon earth, but in our own will, which, ascending to us again, may bring it to us all love, full of light and beautiful as we delivered it. This is why I marked in you all the deaths and pains of each creature and of all of them together, so that I might find the whole creation in you. And since heaven remains open between you and us, you will bring creation onto our lap as if it were delivered by you. That is, as a birth from our will made in you, which you bring back to our feet, delivering it on our lap.
Okay, right there. It's really, I've heard this analogy before, and it really is very, I think, to me, it's easy to understand what God has done here. Think about a mother's birthday, and there's a four-year-old child, and the father gets a gift for the mother and gives it to the child already wrapped to give to mom. So the gift's been given, and now the gift is given. That's what God has done here. He's given us his will. All the attributes, with all the love. And then our job is to give it back to God, because only in that scenario can we give back to God on the level of God what's due to God. That's why Adam was able to do it in the state of grace. Everything was given. He was giving that on the level of God, due to God, that interaction, that love and affection, the rounds, as we do now. But humanity fell to such a low level that we cannot, no matter what we do, no matter how holy we may be, we cannot give that love back to God on the level of God, due to God, until God elevates us, until that father gives the gift to the son or the daughter to give to the mother. That's what God is doing right now. We can't keep it. We have to give it back, because as we give it back, it's given back to us. And this reciprocity of love is just unending. And that's a silly analogy
I think that's great.
I visualize it. That makes sense to me, because I
like
to look at pictures.
I think that's great.
Okay.
These are our rights that we claim. All we want is that that which came out from us enter into us.
Okay. So really quick, sorry to stop you again, Maureen. To me, I've spoken this to Father and Izzy. What is God asking? God is asking us, in really simple terms, God's asking us, will you allow me to bring you back to where you belong? Can I bring you home? You don't really have to do much. I'll take you there, but can you? Will you? Again, available to all, easy and accessible, unless they did not want it. If we don't ask for this gift, if we don't desire this gift, we're not going to have knowledge of this gift, and then we're not going to know what we're missing. And that's why, again, this cog, these few souls that God is bringing to the table, so to speak, and why he's chosen us, he's got a great sense of humor, but he's counting on us to move him in order to give this to all souls, past, present, and future, to act as a catalyst. And it's nothing we're doing personally, but he's giving us that gift to give back to him. So he's giving us the tool, and the tool we give back. And then everything's accomplished. But what have we really done? We really only become like a conduit. That's all we've done. Peter walking on water. He was given the wherewithal, the ability to do so, not because he could walk on water. He couldn't. But God so willed it. It's very easy. God's given us the gift to give back to him. Everything is done for us. State of grace, ardent desire. We enter into the gift. Then our journey begins. That's when our work begins. And that's when we start to do what we're doing right now. We study it. We talk about it. We philosophize on it. Yeah, we help each other out by our own little insights, by our own little visuals. We help each other. Because God's looking to see how well we get along. You know, we were thrown out of the playground when Adam sinned, and he's opened the gate again. He says, I'm not going to force you back in, but come on, come in now, and I'm going to give you the grace and the strength to play nice, not like you did last time. Okay.
It is true that our will alone, acting in a soul with its power, just as it acted in that void when we deliver creation, will be able to give us back our rights and make the whole creation smile at us, at our feet, as though in triumph. But we want to use this power so that we may not remain disappointed in the work of creation, and our love triumphs more in taking from one creature that which all should give us. Now, we are fixing everything in you. Then the other little births will be delivered, which, loving to live in this way in our will bring creation onto our lap, some 10, some 20, some 100. You will be like a tree which has sunk its roots deep into our will, and these roots will make other saplings germinate, which, surrounding the tree like a crown, will produce their fruits.
I have a note there also, volume 12, January 24th, 1921, for that also. Couple things. I don't want to spend a lot of time on this, Maureen, but, again, talks about, but we want to use this power so that we may not remain disappointed. Again, God's not going to be content. Our church cannot be content until it brings us back or helps us go back. In fact, Jesus mentions that in volume 16. I don't have that in front of me. He says, everything that I've given you, the church, the sacraments, the gifts that I've given my saints, everything that's been given to us has been given to us as primary purpose to bring us back to the order, the place, and the purpose which were created by God. So everything that's happened to us in our lives has been for this sort of end game. Yeah, and we can't get bogged down with just the things around us, because we have a long way to go. But God can take us there in an instant. But we have to free ourselves from the sort of like the webs of the world and get free so that God can lift us out of this mess. And I think that's beautiful. And then he talks about Louisa, being given everything. We are fixing everything in you. But then he talks about us. He says, then the other little births will be delivered. And that's us. And he speaks about that also in volume 12. This is really important. Volume 12, January 24th, 1921. This is just an excerpt, but this is really important because a lot of times we may feel like we've got to wait till this happens or that happens. We don't have to wait for anything. God is saying, I'm giving everything. So this is what he says in volume 12. Quote, so shall the third fiat be. It shall germinate within you, Louisa. The ear of grain shall be formed. Only the priest shall have knowledge of it. And this has already happened. St. Hannibal de Francia was proclaimed by Jesus to be the first apostle of the divine will. He gave the Neolapsat to the first 19 volumes that he passed away. So first the priest shall have knowledge of it. That's happened. Then a few souls. That is happening. And then it shall spread. It shall spread and shall follow the same path as creation and redemption. My point there, I guess, is first the priest shall have knowledge of it. That has happened and is continuing to happen with other priests. Then a few souls. He didn't say then another few priests. Oh yeah, there'll be a lot of priests, but then a few souls. Those few souls could be us if we want it. So again, the door is open right now, not tomorrow. State of grace, ardent desire. Jesus says, immediately I will grant you the gift. Again, then our work begins or our work ceases, whatever we decide to do. But the gift can be given in a very imperfect way, of course. Nothing to compare to Luis or any of the same, very imperfectly, but our foot is in the door. And with that foot in the door, we get the breath of fresh air. We get the grace and graces. And now, are we going to use them? That's the question. Lord, allow me to use the grace and graces that you're constantly pounding on me, that I'm neglecting to use or neglecting to see. So I just think I thought that was very important.
Yeah. Thank you.
So we don't have to wait for anything. God is waiting for us right now to give that fiat, state of grace, desire. So simple. So simple, yet so difficult.
Yeah. You make it sound simple. That's what you like to hear. True good never remains isolated. And since my will is the greatest good, its fecundity will be immense. Therefore, courage, be attentive in everything. It is true that our will do everything, but the thread of yours must run together with it and extend into heaven, on earth, and in everything to let us accomplish what we want to operate in you.
To let us accomplish. We're not doing anything. Well, we are doing something. We're saying, okay, Lord, do with me as you wish, just like our Blessed Lady. We're emulating, again, Our Lady. Where's that quote? We want to listen to Our Lady. Our Catechism, Article 507, states, quote, at once Virgin and Mother, Mary, our Blessed Mother, is the symbol and the most perfect realization of the Church, end quote. So emulating her fiat mihi, let it be done according to your will. Lord, I want this. Do with me as you wish. Can we run these threads to heaven? Of course not. Can God do it in us if we give our consent? Of course he is. Of course he will. It's so incredible. This is really mystical. And again, we know Article 67 tells us that it's the role of the mystics to help us better understand something that's already been given, but during a certain period of time. So they're not improving on, they're not adding or subtracting to public revelation, but they're allowing us to better understand it. There was a French mystic called Bergeon who said it's the role of the mystics' words to stimulate the mysticism in our soul that always has been there, but has been dormant for 2,000 years. Yeah. I mean, we don't get a lot of mystical theology. Well, now it's starting to have a resurgence, but mystical theology was almost vacated. But now the mystics are awakening that mystical aura of us that God has placed there. And through that, we're going to have, quote, a better understanding of what's already been given to us in a certain period of time. That's exactly what the gift of living the divine will is doing, in my opinion. All right. So that concludes that passage. Now there's a second passage that also goes along with this that Father Nuzzi did not articulate, but I kind of found that it made a lot of sense to continue. And this has a lot of reading for Maureen. So we'll do as much as we can. How are you on time?
I'm good.
Okay. Because we've got about 5 or 6 legitimate minutes left. So we'll see if we can get through something here. And I have a couple words up here, gratitude and thanksgiving. I think this passage will help us. Remember, it was the ingratitude of souls that most pierced our Lord's heart. Mm-hmm. And he articulated that throughout Scripture too. Remember the one that comes mm-hmm. to mind, the 10 lepers. One came back and thanked him. He said, well, weren't there 10 healed? Where are the other 9? Where'd they go? So it's that lack of gratitude, lack of thanksgiving. And I think Louisa, really, through Jesus and Mary, is going to help us better understand that. So if we can start with this, we'll get as much as we can done, and we'll pick up maybe next week on it.
Okay. Volume 17, May 17th, 1925. After I had the confessor hear what is written above, with the date of May 10th, when fusing myself in the divine volition, he was not satisfied and ordered me to continue to write about the way to fuse in the holy divine volition. So out of obedience and for fear that my Jesus might be even slightly disappointed, I continue.
Okay, I just put a little note here. I want to just mention that this is a continuation of the passage from May 10th, 1925. Again, for the essence of the point I think we're trying to make here, though, I didn't want to include that. It would just have been too voluminous. But that, if in case you want to go back to and start from the beginning, but you really don't have to. I mean, you can pick up on the theme and the thread here because God's speaking to about giving that thanksgiving, that gratitude back to him, due to him, on the level due to him.
Now, I add that as that immense void comes before my mind, infusing myself in this supreme volition, the little child begins her round again, and rising up high, she wants to repay her God for all the love he had for all creatures in creation. She wants to honor him as creator of all things, and so she goes around the stars, and in each flickering of light, I impress my I love you and glory to my creator. In every atom of the light of the sun that comes down, my I love you and glory. In the whole expanse of the heavens, between the distance from one step to another, my I love you and glory. In the warbling of the bird, in the beating of its wings, love and glory to my creator. In the blade of grass which sprouts from the earth, in the flower that blooms, in the fragrance that ascends, love and glory. On the peak of the mountains and in the depths of the valleys, love and glory. I wander through every heart of creature as though wanting to enclose myself and shout from within to every heart, my I love you and glory to my creator. And then, as if I had gathered everything together in such a way that everything gives return of love and recognition of glory for all that God has done in creation, I go to his throne and I say to him, Supreme Majesty and Creator of all things, this little child comes into your arms to tell you that all of creation, in the name of all creatures, gives you not only return of love, but also the just glory for the so many things you created for love of us. In your will, in this immense empty space, I wandered everywhere so that all things may glorify you, love you, and bless you. And now that I have put in relation the love between creator and creature, which the human will had broken, as well as the glory that everyone owed you, let your will descend upon earth, that it may bind and strengthen all the relations between creator and creature, and so that all things may return to the original order established by you. Therefore, hurry, do not delay any longer. Don't you see how the earth is full of evils? Your will alone can stop this current and save it. Your will. Known and ruling.
What a great example of making the rounds, doing the rounds. Yeah, I thought, Maureen, I'm saying to myself, you know, we all have different availability throughout the days. Some of us have more obligations, more responsibilities. Some of us have more time to study, some of us less time to study. Again, it's not the quantity, but it's the quality of what we do. And I just thought about, I think I'm going to copy and paste this in the email this evening, because if nothing else, after we do our preventing act, if we somehow during the day are able mm-hmm. to repeat this,
yeah,
even if we cannot read the rounds, Luis's rounds mm-hmm. every day, if we can just, I mean, this might take us 2 minutes, perhaps, if we have mm-hmm. this on us. I'm sure we can all figure out 2 minutes out of the day. I think it really encompasses everything that we want to say to God on what he's doing. It's an upright intention because it's on behalf of all creatures. It's not just asking for ourselves and our families. It really encompasses really everything. I mean, I'm sure there's other examples that are as good, if not better. But this is one that I think is, again, this is giving gratitude, giving thanksgiving to our Lord. This is what he wants. This is his paternity back. It's incredible. Yeah. It's amazing. It's all here.
It really is, yeah.
It's all here. And speaking of all here, I think we're out of time now. So what okay. I'm going to do, though, is just really quickly like to repeat for this weekend. I know I've sent out a couple emails. A tremendous weekend this weekend. Mother's Day weekend. Happy Mother's Day to everyone. Saturday, May 13th, the Feast of Our Lady of Fatima, which is a very important feast. It's Our Lady of Fatima that brought Deacon John Thompson, Maureen's dad, to Mary's Hill. And that's the first time, October 13th, 2014, that we ever heard the name Luisa Picaretta and heard of the divine will. And our lives have been changed forever. And by the way, while I'm on the subject of Deacon John Thompson, please pray for Deacon. Okay, he's having a little bit of a health issue. And I cannot tell you, well, I can tell you this with pretty good certainty. If it was not for Deacon John Thompson, we would not be on this call right now. There would be no School of Mary, because everything began. God worked through Deacon to bring mm-hmm. the divine will to Mary's Hill. He was the instrument to bring the divine will. So we thank God for Deacon, for all he's done mm-hmm. for his lovely daughters, including Maureen. And please pray for Deacon's health. Mm-hmm. And again, we love him tremendously. So that's our Lady of Fatima on May 13th, a Divine Will Day of Recollection with Reverend Father B. Thomas Celso. It's going to be Luis and the Divine Will, an introduction to it. So if you have any friends that are sort of on the fence of the Divine Will, this may be a nice opportunity to invite them at least for one talk or so. And if you can't, you know, it'll be recorded. Hopefully if I press the right buttons and you can share it then. But this is an introduction on the feast day, and that's basically 9 to 3. The whole agenda will be sent out this evening. Then on Sunday, Mother's Day, we have Father Joseph Leo Iannuzzi, who's going to give us a little bit of a talk on our Blessed Mother and take, again, these are the questions and answers. Remember, let's go back up to the top again. The late Archbishop Pacieri stated, don't get dizzy, please, on me. I'd ask that all who read these writings be guided by a priest for any theological questions that they may have. So on Sunday, bring your theological questions, bring your ambiguities, bring your things that need to be clarified so that we may make sure we stay on the right path and we continue down the highway to heaven. And that's going to be this weekend, Saturday and Sunday. So if you don't have a link for it, it'll be the same link you joined this cenacle. They're all the same. The links for all of our cenacles. So just keep that in mind. Saturday and Sunday will be beautiful. And please keep Deacon John Thompson in your prayers as well. And last but not least, this is a great quote I love from a book entitled In Search of the Soul. It states, quote, "We shall be deeply grateful that our life has been just what it has been, since it has given our soul opportunity to develop," end quote. All the ups and downs, the roller coaster had to occur for our stomach to be turned upside down to be able to look up and see the divine will. And now we grasp at it. God bless everyone. Thanks be to God for everything. Thank you, Maureen. And
bye,
hopefully
everybody.
The weekend, Saturday and Sunday.
Yeah, it's a good one. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.